not a lot of time today. So we're just going to learn a keta, a piece of this mimer, that was recited by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Toldos. It was Mevarchem HaChedesh and Erev Rosh Chedesh Kislev. The year was Tov Shin Chai, which would be the equivalent of 1957. So the mimer opens up with the words Ve'ilu Tildes Noach, pardon me, Ilda Tildes Yitzchak. These are the generations, or the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. And the Rebbe opens the mimer with an emphasis on the famous diuk. Why do we have to have the redundant expression? These are the Tildes of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. He just said the same thing twice, seemingly with no addition. If it's Yitzchak ben Avram, why do you have to say Avram held this Yitzchak? We also have to understand this idea that Ein Keren Ovis Elul L'Shleisha. It's a Gemara in Brachas, on page 16. We only call three people in our history patriarchs or fathers. So there's this notion of Ovis, of patriarchs, or a piece of the patriarchs in every one of us. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Teirer, that's the meaning of Ein Keren Ovis Elul L'Shleisha, that it's not just a technical reality or a detail of how we should call people or refer to people, but rather that on a deeper level it means that each and every one of us has within him a piece of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. And that's why it's called Ovis. It's like DNA. It's in you. So we have to understand what that means. And also this business of Yitzchak ben Avraham and Avraham Hildes Yitzchak, what does it mean in Avedas Hashem and the Aveda of each and every individual? So we're not going to get the full answer to any of these questions. However, we're going to open the mimer, just learn a keta, a piece of it. And in doing so, we're going to have a patriarchal portrait of the difference in Aveda Hashem between Avraham and Yitzchak, and the obvious takeaway, what it means in our life. So the thing is like this. Hine Yodua, it is known, Sha'avraham v'Yitzchak, that the first two patriarchs respectively, Hein Bechinas Chesed u'Gvur, that they represent the idea of what literally translates as kindness and as strength or discipline. And that's Avraham and that's Yitzchak. Avraham is Midas HaChesed. Avraham personified the concept of kindness, giving, positivity, free-flowing energy. And Yitzchak is Midas HaGvura. He personified the measure or the concept of extreme discipline, inner strength, courage, heroism. Dehine Avraham hoya merkava l'midas HaChesed. So to translate or elucidate that a little bit, what does it mean when he says that he personifies the concept of Chesed? So the Rebbe here utilizes terminology, really Zoharic terminology, with regard to the Ovis. That the Zohar says that the Ovis were what we call a Merkava. Merkava literally means a wagon or a chariot, a vehicle. And the point is that vehicles don't have minds of their own, unless it's chitty chitty bang bang, but that doesn't really count. So how does the vehicle go? It's something that has, it's in motion. It's got wheels. How does it go? It goes as the driver steers it. That's the way it goes. And because the nature of wheels are that they round and they roll, it just has to be guided or steered. And as long as you guide it or steer it, it goes wherever you want it to go. So the Ovis were so devoted to Hashem that they're metaphorized as chariots. They had wheels, they were in motion. And where were they going? Wherever Hashem wanted them to go. In other words, that they didn't really have what we would call a full independent streak, where they did what there was what they wanted, and then there was what God wanted, and then there was this mighty struggle, and in the end they said, oh, okay, fine, God, you know, you're stronger, bigger, more prominent, we're going to give in to you. But for the Avos, they were so connected to Hashem that everything they did was almost naturally or intuitively exactly what Hashem wanted. That's this concept of Merkava. It's a very, very lofty and high level of spiritual devotion and dedication, a level of commitment that in a sense, is almost unparalleled. So when we say that Avraham is a Merkava, or we say that Avraham Avinu personifies Chesed, that is to say that Avraham's persona was so prone towards kindness and towards what we would call the free-flowing energy of chesed, of love, that ultimately Avraham Avinu became an extension or expression of nothing but loving kindness itself. K'deisa b'pardes, like it says in the Pardes, which is a famous Sefer of Kabbalah written during the medieval times. In the name of Sefer HaBohir, which is a Sefer of Kabbalah written in the Tanaic times, in fact, it is only the second book ever to be written of Kabbalah, and for a long time while the Sefer HaZohar was in hiding. The Sefer HaBohir was the primary book of Kabbalah, that it says in the Sefer HaBohir, Omra Midas HaChesed Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The measure or institution of kindness before God, there's this proverbial concept of kindness. This idea of what's called chesed atzilus, that all of the universe and all of reality is patterned in a certain way, which follows Eser Sfiris, the 10 Sfiris, and that each world serves a function or a purpose. So the world of atzilus is not just this theoretical reality, it's an actual reality. It's a reality on some level. And it's a reality that serves a purpose. Every one of the spiritual worlds serve purposes. They all have an influence, an impact on how the next world, or the worlds that evolve, choreograph, not randomly, chas v'shalom, the worlds that evolve, the one world, if you will, begets the next world. So a simple metaphor for this could be, if a person has a subconscious bias, so that subconscious bias expresses itself in a particular attitude, and the attitude would manifest itself in a thought process or a manner of how somebody looks at something. And that thought would lead somebody to communicate a certain way. And the communication would filter through body language. Not only words that you use, it would be things that you act out where you would be leaking all over the place, as the experts call it. You didn't mean to communicate certain things, but you did communicate those things. And then, of course, it influences the way you act as well. So a person would say, well, it doesn't matter. My biases are irrelevant. It doesn't matter the fact that I was raised a certain way, that I tend to think a certain way, that my experiences have formed certain realities. That's irrelevant. I'm able to come at this in a totally independent and fresh way. And you would say, yeah, I don't think so. Not really. Of course, you're going to be influenced by your biases, because whatever those indelible imprints that were made on your subconsciousness, they're necessarily going to filter through into your conscious and even your cogent reality. It has to be that way. So when we talk about these lofty levels of divinity, sometimes we metaphorize and speak about like divine subconsciousness. So when we have this concept of chesed on a very, very lofty or nuanced, deep level, then that concept of chesed then expresses itself in the way our world functions. So midas ha-chesed, which is chesed on a very high, lofty level, said before God, Kol yimei hayes Avraham ba'aretz. As long as Avraham Avinu is alive and functioning, lo yitzrachti lases malachti. I don't need to function. I'm not serving a purpose. Because harei Avraham oimed u'mishamesh b'mkoymi. Avraham's influence was so strong that he was able to channel the energy of chesed in a way which rendered the origin of chesed moot. So it's like a person would be trained a certain way. And they're trained and trained and trained, and they keep practicing and practicing till it becomes second nature. So it becomes so second nature that actually the subconsciousness is no longer relevant. What your previous bias was is irrelevant, because you've become so prone to do a certain thing that you're not even reaching into your subconsciousness. You're just falling into the certain step. For example, like when a soldier trains, when the soldier's actually in battle, he's not actively thinking about what he's supposed to do. And the innate fears that every human being would have of firepower or whatever else it is are irrelevant. They're rendered moot. Why? Because you've trained so many times that that's become second nature. That takes over. You just do what you're accustomed or you become trained to do. So the biases don't make a difference. What's inside doesn't make a difference. So Avraham Avinu was like as if this training, he did so much chesed, he did chesed, he personified chesed, he was a merkava of chesed, to the point that the lofty level of chesed, which would necessarily influence the way things unfolded in this world, no longer served a purpose. Because Avraham Avinu was such a powerful expression of chesed in everything that he did. So Midas HaChesed said, you know, I can go on vacation, I can go to sleep. I have no function anymore. The work, the service, the efforts The life of Avram was entirely sufficed with the idea of chesed. Everything was chesed. Shayimachnes archim, umachilom, umashkom. He would provide hospitality, welcome guests. He would give them to eat and to drink. And of course, this was all not only about material kindness, but ultimately about spiritual kindness in trying to bring people into a higher state of communion and oneness with Hashem, to create a higher state of God consciousness. Shazel, when you gmilas chasadim, begashmias, he fed them and gave them to eat materially. So he wasn't just doing chesed in a material sense, he did chesed in a spiritual sense. He was revealing godliness in every part of the world he touched. Like it says, this is found, a pasuk in the Parsha 2 weeks ago, but it's also elaborated and elucidated in the words of the Gemara in Maseches Seita, that it says, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Havaya Kel Olam, that Avraham Avinu came there, and there he called out in the name of Havaya, who is Kel Olam, who is the God of the world. So our sages tell us that we have a tradition passed down that we shouldn't read it Vayikra, Altikra Vayikra, Ela Vayakri. Don't say he called or he proclaimed, but rather he caused others to call and proclaim. Avraham Avinu caused everybody else, all the travelers, everybody who passed him by, that they also should proclaim the reality of divinity and godliness. Ketzad, how was this? So the Gemara tells us, they ate and they drank to satiation. They were very happy and pleased. They got up, wanted to bless him and thank him. You ate my food. This is not mine, he said. This comes from the God, the master of the universe. Now you should praise and thank. Now you should acknowledge the one who spoke and brought the world into existence. That is to say, that Avraham Avinu's focus was entirely on revealing godliness and divinity, which is the true reality, what's beneath the surface. Avraham Avinu's whole focus was doing that. Amnam, however, on the other hand, Yitzchak was a Merkava to Midas HaGvura. He was a Merkava, he personified the concept of strength, of inner discipline, of total commitment and devotion. And a lot of that was inward focused. Kamesha Kasov, like it says in next week's Parsha, Upachad Yitzchak Hayali, when Yaakov Avinu speaks about the idea in 2 weeks Parsha that God had come to him, and he tells Rachel and Leah that God has appeared himself, he doesn't say Kael, he says Pachad, the dread, the awe, because that's how Yitzchak related to God. Because Yitzchak was entirely focused on the idea of Gevura, of discipline, and the inner struggle, and the inner focus, an inner devotion, very different than Avram. Avram's direction was extroverted, reaching out and engaging. Yitzchak was more of an introverted style. He was trying to redeem, if you will, the deepest levels of spirituality and devotion and dedication that resided in the inner core of a person. And that came through repeated efforts. And it came through practice makes perfect. And it came through the idea of finding the inner strength not to be fazed by what's going on around you. Very, very different than Avram. So these two inyanim, these two concepts of Avram and Yitzchak, which are chesed and gvura, are actually also spoken of in terms of oir and choshech, light and darkness. Like it says in the Zohar. And it says, la'or da Avram, for light, this is Abraham. La'choshech da Yitzchak, for darkness, this is Yitzchak. V'hainu. So that means Shavram, Shehu Chesed, Avram, who personifies kindness, in Yoni Hamshacha Vigili. Idea of Avram is that which spills forth and reveals, like photons. That's the idea of Ur. Yitzchak is Gvura, in Yoni is Helem, restraint, concealment. Hareze Bechines Cheshach. So Avram Avinu's persona was such that when he would see you, he would wear his heart on his sleeve, and he would express himself, and he would engage. And he would touch, and he would inspire. That was Avraham Avinu. Whereas Yitzchak would be working on his Avedas Hashem, doing it in a modest way. But regardless of what he was feeling, he wouldn't let you know about it. He would restrain it. He would hold everything in. he wouldn't want to be expressive in a way which could be interpreted as counterfeit or cheap or gaudy. And everything for Yitzchak had to be intensely personal, and it had to be real and authentic. And when you look at it, you wouldn't see any of that. You'd see a blank face, a poker face. You wouldn't see all of the intense emotion that was radiating within. So what you would see is darkness, the opposite of light. He wouldn't reveal. Choshech. The thing about this, about Avram and Yitzchak being Ur and Choshech, that this goes back to creation itself. That in the beginning of creation, there are two very different kinds of reality or divine energy which was engaged or utilized in order to create the world. Kamesha Kosov, like it says, and this is found in the blessings of Krishma based on the prophecies of Yeshayo HaNavi in the 45th chapter of his book of Nevuah, that it says, Yoitzer Oyer Uveir Cheshach. Yeshayo HaNavi says, God forms light and he creates darkness. Hainu Shebechinas Oyer Hu Madrega Sheyecheilu Lehiz Galois L'Misha L'Mata Yemenu. Oyer, or photons, means that which could be revealed to somebody else. Light travels very quickly. It reveals. And light gives. That's the nature of light. That's why it's called Oyer. Oyer is the idea of Gilui, revelation. It's something which, intrinsically speaking, cannot be expressed. I think we have to think in terms of a black hole, of negative energy here. Not of darkness, meaning the opposite of light. But we're talking about something which actually personifies darkness, and we know that a black hole swallows everything up. Not only it doesn't give out light, but it's so intense. Its subatomic structure is actually not even understood. Nobody's ever been to a black hole and come back to talk about it. But it's such an intense subatomic energy that it swallows everything instead of revealing everything. And therefore it's called Choshech. Shoinyin Ahelem. This is the idea of concealment. Incidentally, black hole or negative energy is much more powerful than light or photons. And that's the idea of Yetzer Er, God forms light, Ubeir Cheshech. The Yetzirah Hu Inyan Sheyesh Bar Kvar is a Tzura. There's some kind of Tzura, there's some kind of matter, there's some kind of form, and the form is fully developed. And therefore, because it's something which is, it is in and of itself, and now it could be revealed for others. So it can be Nizgala, it could be revealed Lamata in a lower level. That's why it's our light travels. We talk about creation itself. Creation itself has no form. Creation itself doesn't have a specific contour or gestalt yet. It's just creation itself. It cannot be revealed. And these were the two different energies that were personified by our earliest patriarchs. And obviously we have to find this kind of devotion in our own selves, as we all have a little Avram inside us, and we all have a little bit of Yitzchak inside us, and that's all we have time for today. Shabbat shalom, chodesh tov, a good yom tov to everybody, and may we continue to study Torah together.